Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, Baptism: Who, What, and Why. Our Scripture text is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, and verses 37 through 41. Read with us. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Move down to verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Go to verse 41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." The words baptize, baptism, and baptized are mentioned more than 100 times in our New Testaments. They are common expressions often used in the religious community of today's so-called Christendom. The doctrine and teaching of baptism is a practice, to one degree or another, by most religious bodies in the U.S. and many throughout the religious world. The English verb form, baptize, is from the Greek word baptizo. Baptize means to dip, to immerse, to emerge, to submerge, as defined by Thayer's Greek lexicon. In all 100 occurrences in our English scriptures of the words baptize, baptism, and baptized, one could substitute in the place of baptize, baptism, and baptized, the words immerse, immersion, or immersed, and the text would have the exact same meaning. In fact, I have a copy of the Revised New Testament prepared under the supervision of the American Bible Union, formed by American Baptists in 1837, which translates the words baptize, baptism, and baptized to immerse, immersion, and immersed, all 100 times where the words baptize, baptism, and baptized occur. Immerse, immersion, and immersed are accurate translations of the words baptize, baptism, and baptized. Immersion, submerging, dipping, and burial in water, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, is the only method of baptism authorized by Jesus and the apostles. Sprinkling or pouring of water on a person instead of baptism was not authorized by the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. Substituting sprinkling or pouring water on an individual for baptism, immersion in water, was unheard of in the early church. The first known case of sprinkling involved a man by the name of Novatian, who lived in Rome about AD 251. Eusebius, father of the church history, says of Novatian that he was attacked with an obstinate disease and, being supposed at the point of death, was baptized by aspersion in the bed on which he lay. The Council of Nemours, AD 1284, limited sprinkling to cases of necessity. Finally, the Council of Ravenna, AD 1311, was officially made law, human law that is, that the candidate for baptism be given his choice between sprinkling and immersion. Sprinkling was approved by man 13 centuries after Jesus commanded the apostles to be baptized by immersion. But Jesus said, "Some men would teach as their doctrine the commandments of men. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Sprinkling for baptism is a doctrine of man. It was conceived by men. It was taught by men. Sprinkling was believed by men. Sprinkling was practiced by men and made law by men. Sprinkling for baptism, that is, immersion in water, came into practice 1,300 years too late to have our Lord's approval. Observe this quote from the Discipline of the Methodist Church in 1952. "Let every adult person and the parents of every child to be baptized have the choice of sprinkling, pouring, or immersion." Discipline of the Methodist Church, 1952 edition, part 10, paragraph 1909, baptism, page 519. No scripture in the New Testament authorizes children to be baptized in the first place. In the second place, no scripture authorizes a choice of sprinkling or pouring. Scriptures authorize immersion only. On any Bible topic where an issue occurs, we must always appeal to what the Scriptures say and what the Scriptures teach. My opinion, your preacher's opinion, and your opinion is not the standard or rule on any Bible doctrine. Open your Bibles and read with us from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Now when they, Paul and Silas, had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. The Scriptures provide us with simple, understandable words and instructions that we can easily comprehend. The Scriptures give us the standard and the rule to follow and obey. The Scriptures tell us plainly what baptism is, who should be baptized, and why individuals should be baptized. Baptism is important. It is of value. Our Lord Himself was baptized. Then came Jesus from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The great God of heaven was pleased with the baptism of Jesus, His Son. We'll study the subject of baptism from three vantage points. What is baptism? Who should be baptized? Why should one be baptized? First, what is baptism? By definition, baptism is a dipping or submerging one in water. Baptism is going down into the water and coming up out of the water, burying a person in water. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. So he, the Ethiopian, commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, so that the Ethiopian saw him no more. And the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Colossians 2 and verse 12. Baptism is a burial in water. What is baptism? Baptism is going down into the water and coming up out of the water. Baptism is a burial. Baptism is an immersion in water. There is one valid baptism today, and that's water baptism. The Scriptures mention other baptisms that are now invalid. That is, they are not valid today. They are not for us to observe today. They are not for us to practice today. John's baptism, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, Acts chapter 19, verses 3 through 5. Holy Spirit baptism, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Acts chapter 10, and verse 47. The baptism of Moses, 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 2. The baptism of fire, Matthew chapter 3, and verse 11. But now, there is one baptism, water baptism. Paul declared there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 5. Jesus charged or commissioned his apostles, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Lord, how do you want us to make disciples? By baptizing them? By immersing them in water? Was the Lord's answer. Hear this analogy. Son, go clean the car, washing it. How is the cleaning of the car to be done? By washing it. The one water baptism will last till Jesus comes again. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The one baptism, immersion in water, is symbolic of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Hear the apostle again. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Baptism is symbolic of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. Number 2, who should be baptized? The doctrine of many denominational preachers and church creeds teach and practice what they call infant baptism. Actually, they don't baptize infants and children, but just sprinkle water on them in a so-called baptismal ceremony. We ask, who do the scriptures say should be baptized? The scriptures have standards and prerequisite conditions as to who should be baptized. Those guilty of sin are in need of baptism. Hear the Apostle John. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Those guilty of lawlessness and wrongdoing need to turn from lawlessness and wrongdoing, repent, and be immersed in water, that is, baptized for the remission of those sins. Peter reminded that great crowd on the day of Pentecost of their sin and wrongdoing, of the killing of Jesus, the Son of God, in these words. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Peter continues in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Their hands were dripping with the blood of the innocent Christ because of their hate and evil deed of murder. What was their response to Peter's charge? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 through 38. Many, perhaps some are even sincere, preach and believe that one is saved before baptism. They argue that baptism is the first good work after salvation. That, my friends, is simply not so. Baptism is for the remission of sins, not because your sins are already remitted, as they twist the verse and try to make it mean. For means in order to obtain, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. For does not mean because of, sins forgiven, in Acts 2:38. In this text, false teachers use the wrong definition for the word for and woefully misapply the instruction of the Apostle Peter. Let's explain with a parallel verse using the word for in another scripture. The best commentary on the scriptures are the scriptures themselves. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, where the word for is used in the exact same manner as in Acts 2:38. "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. Ask yourselves this simple question. Did Jesus shed his blood for many to have the remission of sins? Or did Jesus shed his blood because many sins had already been remitted? You know the answer. Jesus shed his blood for, in order for many to have the remission of sins. Sometimes it takes help to misunderstand some scriptures. Baptism is for those guilty of sin. Baptism is for penitent, that is, those folks who are sorrowful for wrongdoing, and believe. Peter convinced the multitude on Pentecost of their wrongdoing. They accepted their guilt and believed. Now they wanted to know how to receive forgiveness. Peter told them how to get forgiveness and remission of their sins. Hear it. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Baptism is for believers. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Jesus taught, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." That verse does not read, "He who believes will be saved and can be baptized later if he wants to." It says, "He who believes and is baptized." Both conditions, that believer, that baptized believer, will be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Submissive believers are the ones to be baptized. Next, accountable persons should be baptized. "The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son." Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. Babies and little children are not accountable and do not sin. The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Babies and little children are not accountable to God. Babies and little children do not commit sin. Therefore, babies and little children do not need immersion. Who should be baptized? Those guilty of sin, those who have repented and believed, those who are accountable. Babies and little children should not be baptized because they cannot believe and they are not accountable. Why should a person be baptized? Ananias told Saul of Tarsus to be baptized to wash his sins away. Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Saul was in sin and needed his sins forgiven. Therefore, being a penitent believer, he was told to be baptized to have his sins washed away. Peter taught baptism for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, verse 41. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts 2:47. Who were those who were being saved? Baptized believers, and then the Lord adds them to the church. Peter affirmed in clear language that baptism as immersion in water saves. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism puts a person into Christ. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27. Baptism inducts one into the one body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The body is the church, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. One is baptized into the one body. The body is the church. One is baptized into the church that Jesus established. Christ will save the church, that is, those who have believed and been baptized. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. We have learned about baptism. What is baptism? Immersion and a burial in water. Who should be baptized? Sinners, believers, accountable people. Why should one be baptized? To have sins washed away, to have remission of sins, to be saved, to be in the one body, to be in the church. If you've not been immersed or baptized in water, ponder this thought. According to the Scriptures, you are in sin. You're lost. You're outside of Christ and His church. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host, redeemed by blood, radiant, living in strength divine. I heard the summons roll to join. Here all who suffered sore of fame for truth or Jesus' lovely name, shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I Am. And bow before the great I Am. Eternal love shall feed.
We hope that you've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.